If you have your Bibles today, turn in them to the book of Daniel. If you don't have your Bible with you today, there should be one in front of you in the pew. You can turn to the book of Daniel in that one. And like always, if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, you let me know at the end of the service. I'll be right back there. And I keep a couple in my office just for such an occasion. If you need a Bible, I'd love to put one in your hand. This story today is not your typical Palm Sunday service that we're going to talk about. But it has a kind of a neat little twist in the middle, and we'll kind of get there. But this is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And I've entitled the sermon, Daniel in the Lion's Den / Constant Courage. And one thing I want you to pay attention to today is when we go through the scripture, and just keep in mind that word constant or consistency, consistent. And every time, you know, be looking for that because it comes up quite a bit. And every time it comes up, make mental note of it. Consistency, constant. The question we have to ask today is, what happens when an unchanging situation meets an unchangeable God? Aren't you glad we have an unchangeable God? God, you know, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm always the same. I don't change. Sometimes we get in a situation where our situation is pretty bleak, kind of grim. We wish our situation would change, and sometimes it just doesn't change. But what happens when that unchanging situation meets an unchangeable God? Daniel had a situation like that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But would you begin, before we look at the scripture, would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for this day. We thank you that for what this day represents, Father, the beginning of the Passion Week, and how our focus ought to be turned, especially towards Jesus this week, remembering what how the emotions changed from the triumphal entry and people singing Hosanna in the highest and glory to God and waving palm branches and bowing to the end of the week shouting crucify him. The change of emotions that our Lord must have felt knowing as he was riding in on that triumphant day what was coming at the end of the week. Father, help us to be mindful of that this week. Father, we also ask that you would speak to us in a special way today. Open our hearts to receive a word from you. And Father, don't just instruct us, but give us courage and the power to be obedient to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den is a very familiar story. But surprisingly, did you know that Daniel's time in the lion's den is only given a few verses? How many of you have ever heard of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? The actual time that he was in the lion's den is only just about 3, 4, 5 verses in the Bible. That's it. And so as I began to study this week and go through that, I was actually surprised because in my mind, although I'd read the story countless times, I thought there was a lot more to it, but the bulk of the story is taken up with the events that lead up to the actual event and what followed after the lion's den. The real courage that Daniel showed was not when he was thrown into the lion's den. Did you know that? I was thinking, wow, you know, because that'll be something I can really talk about because Daniel, he showed a lot of courage when he was thrown in the lion's den. But the thing is, by the time the lion's den came, didn't matter if he was courageous or not. He was still going. The courage was leading up. The courage he displayed was leading up to that event. We're going to read through that story, and I'm going to break it up into several different passages. So Daniel chapter 6 is where we're going to be. And I'm just going to read the first, I think, 3 verses. Yeah, the first 3 verses right now. It says, it seemed good to Darius, who was the king at that time, to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Okay, the setup. Daniel had distinguished himself, right? And so he was selected not only as a satrap, but as one of the three commissioners over all the satraps who were over all the people. But he even further distinguished himself that the king had in mind to put him over the entire kingdom, Daniel. Remember, Daniel was an exile. He wasn't even one of their kingdom. They brought him in as kind of like slaves. And he was one of those. He was an Israelite. And he came in, but he had so distinguished himself that the king recognized it and said, I need to make him be in charge because he's good for me. He's smart. He's honest. He takes care of his business. So you see, Daniel lived his life in a certain way. He lived his life consistently. His courage was constant and his faith was constant so that nothing had to change later on when he was thrown to the lion's den. You see, he was already building that character. He was already exhibiting all those things that we consider courage in Daniel. Have you ever been to, gone online to do a search, like to Google or someplace? Have you ever, I turn mine off sometimes because it gets this feature, that I turn it off because it messes with me. But it's called autocomplete. Have you ever seen that? You start typing a search and it guesses what word you're trying to do and it puts the word up there. And the more you type, the closer it gets. Y'all seen that? Autocomplete. It says, I think I know what you want. This is it. And I'm looking at it and going, that has nothing to do with what I want. You know, and I keep going. Autocomplete. On my smartphone. I have a smartphone. Sometimes I wonder just how smart it is because it thinks I'm wanting something and it doesn't have a clue. Well, it's so smart, yeah. But that autocomplete in there, it says, well, this is what you searched for last time. We're just going on your pattern. Or we're just going on your habits. We're putting that in there because we think that that's what you want because that's what you did last time. Right? Guess what? We don't get into a situation and decide whether or not we're going to honor God this time. The decision has to be made beforehand. Usually when that situation comes, we aren't thinking about how to respond because we're on autocomplete. We respond the way that we did last time and the time before and the time before that. It's become a habit, and that's how we respond. We autocomplete. We do it without even thinking even sometimes. Situation comes and we just, boom, this is the way I'm doing. I'm on autocomplete. And sometimes it's not the right thing, but we do it anyway. Aristotle, one of the great philosophers, some say he was great, I don't know. He was a famous one, how about that? He did say this, I thought was really cool. He said, excellence is not an act, it's a habit. Excellence is not an act, it's a habit. We are what we repeatedly do. Did y'all hear that? The same can be said about our faith. It's not an act, it's a habit. We are what we repeatedly do. And I tell you, if we're not displaying godly qualities and exercising faith in the good times, what makes us think that we're going to do it when a crisis hits? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, man, if I ever get to this point, I'm going to do this? No, you won't. Because You're not doing it leading up. It hasn't become a habit. It what makes us think that when that time comes, all of a sudden, good or bad situation, that all of a sudden now, I'm going to change my ways. It just doesn't happen. Let's continue reading in our story, beginning of verse 4 here. Then the commissioners and satraps began to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. You see, they were jealous. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that everyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den." Verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document," that is, the injunction. You see what they did? They were jealous because Daniel had found favor with the king. And they thought, they recognized, they said, he really is an honest man. He's a good guy. We can't find anything wrong with him. The only way to get him is to trick him, because he follows the laws of his God. His God's not recognized here, so let's get King to make a decree. And they said, according to the Medes and Persians, make it a written decree. You see, the king of Babylon, before, his word was law. And if he changed his mind, guess what? The law got changed. But according, they were under the law of the Medes and Persians, and even the king, once it was written down, it stood. He could not even change his own law. So they thought, that's how we're going to have to trick him. We're not going to let him know what we're doing because he likes Daniel. The king was powerless to change his own law. Let's look at verse 10. "Now then, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber, which had open windows toward Jerusalem. And he continued," there's that word, that constant, that consistency, that he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day and praying and giving thanks before his God as he had done previously. Your Bible may say, as was his custom. That's consistency, y'all. He had been doing this all the time. So this was not all of a sudden. He didn't just say, okay, the king signed a document, it's law, and if I do it, I'm going to get in trouble. So now's the day I'm going to decide. I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to pray 3 times. He didn't do that. He said, I'm aware that the king has signed this into law. I'm just going to keep on doing what I've always been doing. I'm going to keep on trucking right along. As a matter of fact, I know they're going to be looking for me, but it's okay. And he went up. Just as he had done before. That's that consistency. You see, before the lion's den, Daniel's decision to honor God was already made. He didn't have to get into the situation to say, wow, I'm in a spot. Am I going to honor God this time or am I not? Any, many, miny, miny. No, he didn't have to do that because he already had decided. And I'll tell you this, if you don't decide to honor God in the light of day, your faith will never survive the dark of night. We have to pre-decide. I'm going to teach you a new word today. Rebecca gets kind of tickled at me or frustrated or something, I'm not sure, because I make words up sometimes. Well, here's a made-up word for you. You have to preside. You have to preside. Pre-decide. You have to preside what you're going to do before the situation comes around. For example, y'all familiar with the True Love Waits? Y'all familiar with that? It's a program that's designed for young ones, for youth, to go through, and they make a commitment that they're going to not engage in sexual relations until they're married. Okay? That's the way God planned it. And so there's this program, there's curriculum and all kinds of stuff out there, and kids can go through that with their parents, with their youth directors, or whatever, and go through that studied material and come to a decision. Am I going to make a decision whether or not I'm going to save myself for marriage, or am I not going to make that decision? Okay? You have to preside. If you wait, let me tell you something, especially to the young ones. If you wait until you're in that situation, the windows are foggy, you're in the back seat, and clothes are not where they're supposed to be. If you have to wait until that point to decide, guess what? You're doomed. You're doomed. You've already decided. Or at least, you've decided that that's still an option. Right? You have to pre-decide. You have to pre-decide. If you get into the situation, and it could be a thousand other situations. If you haven't already made up your mind that you're going to honor God in the situation, you're doomed. Listen to this. Obedience in the small things will prepare me to trust God when my life is on the line. You believe that? Obedience in the small things, the things that I do day in, day out, the things that I make habit, will help me to remain faithful when the big times come. You don't get instant courage. Are you standing firm in your faith right now? If you're not standing firm in the easy times, you'll never stand firm when the stuff hits the fan. Right? And you know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you have ever had a situation when the stuff has hit the fan? Yes. It's called life, and it happens. Okay? Things just fall apart, go wrong, go wild. You find yourself, you've been unconscious, you look up, and there's lions staring you in the face. If you haven't been exhibiting courage leading up to that point, guess what? It's not going to find you all of a sudden just because of the situation. Consistency. Sometimes I hear people comment this. If I won that Mega Million jackpot, I'd give half of it to the church. I guess, I don't know, maybe thinking that that's going to gain them some extra points towards their odds or whatever, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, if you haven't been faithful in honoring God with the money before, what makes you think you're going to do it afterwards? If you haven't been faithful in giving a tithe unto God, what makes you think that once, if God should decide to bless you all of a sudden, what makes you think you're all of a sudden going to become faithful at that point? It doesn't happen that way. You have to preside. You have to build up. You have to make those decisions beforehand that you're going to honor God when I have little, and I'm going to honor God when I have more. You have to preside. You know, we've been talking these last few weeks about making decisions in the gray areas, or when it's not black or white and it's kind of fuzzy in the middle. We do things my way, right? We do that. Doesn't matter, God, I'm doing it my way. All of a sudden we get to this dead end and we cry out and say, God, what do I do now? Why did you lead me all the way here and then just leave me alone? And God is going, I never wanted you there at that dead end to begin with. You weren't listening to me over here when I was saying turn left, turn right, slow down. You weren't listening to me then. and you found yourself in a jam, why is it all of a sudden my problem, my fault? You know that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? Have you? About to change the words, don't you think? "I have pre-sided to follow Jesus." Wouldn't that be cool? I have pre-decided that no matter where Jesus says, I'm going to go. I've pre-sided to follow Jesus. Sometimes we sing that song and we don't even pay attention to the words. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. No turning back. No turning back. And then we leave church. We want to leave Jesus here because we don't want to take him where we're going. We have to pre-side. Let's continue reading. Verse 11 says this. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. He was praying just like he'd always done. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. They said, "Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den?" The king replied, "The statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked." Then they answered and they spoke before the king, "Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but he keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Then as soon as the king heard his statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. You see, there was nothing the king could do because he was bound by the law. His own law that he made, they tricked him. But he made the law and he put it in writing, so now he was bound and there was nothing he could do. He could not save Daniel. He wanted to, but he was powerless to save him. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where there's nothing anyone can do except God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where there's nothing anybody could do that would help? The situation is just going to be the way it is, and you're just going to have to work through it by yourself or whatever. But you don't have to be by yourself because God said, "I'm with you. I'm always with you." Verse 15 and 16. These men came by an agreement to the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, this is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed." They keep reminding him of this. It's almost like they keep rubbing it in his nose. Remember, you can't change it. You can try, but you can't do it. So might as well give up. Daniel ain't going to be saved. He's going to the lion's den. There's nothing you can do about it. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, whatever. So then the king, verse 16, gave the orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke to Daniel and said, "Your God, whom you constantly," you see that word? "Whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Consistency. God sometimes allows us to be in a situation that is unchangeable. And you know why he does that? Because he wants to do a miracle that's undeniable. Sometimes he allows us, listen to this, to be in a situation that is unchangeable because he wants to do a miracle in your life that is undeniable. When there's nothing that anybody could do for your situation, God says, "I can." And it's recognized because nobody else can take any credit for it. You see, that's the way God wants it, because he wants all the credit. He wants all the glory and all the honor. He says, "Okay, here's a situation. Nobody can do anything about this. Go ahead. I'll show you my power, my strength." Daniel, I like this guy. It's almost like as if he said, "Go ahead. Throw me to the lions if that's what you've got to do, old king. I understand you're powerless. But I've learned that my unchangeable situation is no match for God's unchanging word. My unchanging situation is no match for God's unchanging word. You yourself, the king of the whole place here, can't change my situation, but my God is bigger than my situation. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word endures forever. It never changes. Verse 17, we're getting close to the end. Getting to the good stuff. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. I get goosebumps at this part of the story because you know what they did? Listen, they rolled a stone in front of the cave and they sealed it. Does that sound familiar? There was another time when the old devil put a stone in front of a cave, sealed it up. Same results. Same results. I almost entitled this sermon, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. Y'all heard that song? Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. Because the king signed the document, right? Put him in the lion's den, sealed it with his ring. But we know what's coming, don't we? He was delivered. And Daniel says, I'm yours. Jesus himself, as we celebrate this week of the Passion Week, he accepted his unchangeable situation, didn't he? His situation was unchangeable because that was God's plan for him all along. And he knew that. Like I said, when he was coming into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, and people were praising him, he was going, yeah, you have no idea what's coming, I do. Those same people at the end of the week, they changed. They were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. The situation was unchangeable, but he trusted in his unchanging God. You see, that was his M.O. That was his modus operandi, his mode of operation. Jesus, he trusted in his God all the time. So it was no big deal. I mean, it was a big deal, but he didn't have to change anything when he realized he was going to be facing crucifixion at the end of the week. He didn't have to change the way he always did business. Daniel didn't have to change the way he had always done business when he found out that if he kept doing what he was doing, he was going to be thrown in the lion's den. He kept on doing it. He was constant, consistent. Verses 18 through 21. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and sleep fled from him. Good for him. He didn't go back and have the dancers and the musicians come in and have a party for him because he was sad, because he knew he had messed up. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he came near the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, there's that word again, whom you constantly serve, has he been able to deliver you from the lions? Had I been Daniel, I'd have just kept real quiet for a minute. Wouldn't that be cool? Daniel, are you safe? But Daniel doesn't do that. He spoke to the king. O king, live forever. That was his response. O king, live forever. I don't hold this against you. You're stupid. You can't help that. Right? It was not your deal anyway. This was God's plan because he wanted to show his might. Was Daniel's attitude. You were tricked. You weren't smart enough to stay out of the trickery of those meanies, those bullies. But I'm safe. I'm here. King live forever, he responds. It's almost like he was saying, you know, you couldn't get me out of this situation. Almighty King, you're not all that almighty anyway, are you? Because you couldn't get me out of the situation. But God was with me. My situation did not change, but God's faithfulness doesn't change either. And I'll take his faithfulness over my situation any day, y'all. My situation's not always good. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. But they come and go. God's faithfulness remains the same. And I'll take that steadfastness. I'll take that consistency any day of the week, because I can bank on that. I can count on that. He never fails. He's always there. Verses 22 and 23 said, my God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, my God, and also towards you, because you, King, know I was innocent, and I've committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. You see, Daniel said, they didn't hurt me. I'm safe. God sent his angel. They shut the mouth of the lions. They're hungry now because they've been looking at me all night, wanting to eat me, but they couldn't. They're really hungry. Have you ever done that? Let me tell you something. Since my little weight loss ordeal, sometimes we sit down and I'm eating this tofu or what, I don't know. It's not that bad, y'all, but I'll be eating my little deal. I'll look over and they're eating what looks to me like filet mignon, you know, or something like that. It's not. It's regular old eggs and bacon or something. But really, the difference between what I'm eating and what they're eating, and it makes me kind of go, I want some of that. I want some of that. I bet those lions were going, I want to eat you. I want to eat you. But God shut their mouths. But they were hungry. We'll find out just in a minute how hungry they were. He didn't say, they didn't scare me. He didn't say, I wasn't scared. He said, they didn't hurt me. He didn't say, come on down, it's a party down here, I'm comfortable, I got all kinds of cushioned rocks and stuff. No, he wasn't comfortable. He didn't say, it's great down here, I'm comfortable. What he said was, this situation did not destroy me. Sometimes our situations, we have to recognize, I may not be comfortable. I may still have fears, but I recognize that my situation is not destroying me, because my God is with me. That was Daniel's attitude. That should be our attitude in those situations. Here's something that really struck me this time. This time, as I read this story, verse 24, underline it or make a note or something. Listen to this verse. The king then gave orders and brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Got them. Let me tell you something. This verse, let me tell you how it struck me this time. We think that if we choose to not honor God, it only affects us. You know what this verse told me? If I make a decision, or if I don't pre-decide to honor God, when I come into that situation and I don't honor God, it can affect my entire family, folks. Let's read it again. Because God told me, he said, I'm serious about this stuff. The king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel. They cast them, their children, their wives into the lion's den. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. If we choose to not honor God, guess what? It will affect those around us. That's what God told me this time. That brand new in this time I've read this story. I've heard that and I've read it countless times. But God spoke a new word to me today, or this week. He said, this is for you. This is for the people in your congregation. Little Mike. He used to call me Big Mike. He didn't call me Big Mike anymore. He called me Little Mike. Or Medium Mike. But he said, this is for y'all because you need to know this. If you choose to not honor me, it doesn't just affect you. It'll affect your entire family. The end of the story. Verses 25 through the end says, then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. He makes a decree. He just made a decree. Now he's making another one, but this one's different, isn't it? Listen to what he says. The God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. That'll preach right there, folks. King Darius turned into a preacher. I mean, mercy. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Good story, right? Do you see the tie to Easter? The lion's den, the cave, the stone, the seal, the delivered part. I want to do something. I want to speak a blessing to you. So, I don't know that we've ever done this. If you want to receive a blessing, would you just stand? You don't have to, but if you want to receive a blessing, would you stand? Here it is. May you walk in constant courage so that when you face an unchangeable situation, you will have an unwavering faith in an unchanging God. That's the blessing I want you to have. Will you receive it? If you receive it, say it with me. Repeat after me. May I walk in constant courage so that when I face an unchangeable situation, I will have an unwavering faith in an unchanging God. Amen. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. Those situations will come. Many of us have been through those situations before, but guess what? There's more coming. Don't know what they are, but we know they're probably coming. Have you pre-sided to honor God now? So that when the time comes, you don't have to make that decision. Some of you, just remain standing, we're close. Some of you need to get serious with God about your commitment. Some of you do. Some of us, or actually all of us, need to deepen our commitment to God. All of us need to become more like Daniel, more consistent, more constant. All of us have work to do to be prepared for whatever lies ahead. God wants us to be ready. It's the preparation that makes it constant. Will you begin today to prepare yourself? Will you create a habit of honoring God no matter what's going on around you? Even when the situation looks bleak, will you make a decision now that you're going to honor God from this day forward, even when those times come? We sang that song at the first of the service, Amazing Love. There's a phrase in there that I had to write it down before I forgot it. In all I do, I honor you. in all I do, I honor you. I decide now, God, that when the time comes and I'm tested, I'm deciding right now that I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to wait until that time comes, because when that time comes, I know autocomplete's going to fill in and I'm going to end up doing something that's stupid. I'm going to decide right now I'm going to honor you in all that I do. I pray that that's us this morning. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God is with you. If you're a child of His, if you've put your faith and your trust in Him, you can rest assured that God is with you. He loves you. He doesn't want your situation to be destroyed, to destroy you. He may allow you to remain in the situation a little while, but you're not alone. He's with you. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ, when those situations come, I don't know what you're going to do. If you don't have the hope of our risen Lord, you don't have hope. Begin today to walk a fresh, new path in your life. We're going to sing a song. This is our invitation. It's not my invitation. It's your invitation to respond to God. If God has been probing your heart, if He's been prompting you to make a decision, to do something, this is your time. You respond as the Lord leads. We sing.